What's up, everybody? I've got a ton of laundry to do. I just had a baby 2 weeks ago, so we're like in the laundry masses. So I thought, all right, let's sit down, do some laundry. We'll chit chat. Because honestly, the second time around, there's so many things that I wish I knew as a first time mom that now the second time have been so, so helpful. The biggest one probably being, okay, so I didn't know about this the first time, but have you guys heard of the baby cries and what they mean? Have you heard about the baby cries and what they mean? This lady went on Oprah like 20 years ago, and Oprah kind of laughed at her about it, it seemed like. But so she went on and said, hey, I've listened to 1,000 babies, and they have similar cries due to a reason. So she studied all of these babies, right, and found 4 major like baby cries, and they're so spot on. They're so spot on. Okay, so the first one is if your baby's crying, nah. No, with like N sound, because they're play, it means they're hungry. So they're placing their tongue against the roof of their mouth, creating that N, N, N sound, because they're trying to latch on. So they're going, trying to drink N, N, nah, nah. So when they're doing that N sound, that means the baby's hungry, so you can give them some food. There's an eh, with like an open eh, and that usually means like a burp, like they need to burp it out. And you can kind of see it on the baby. They're going, eh, eh, eh. Cause, and so burp comes out immediately. It's insane. There's like a sound. And you can see the baby go, kind of like they're squeezing something out. I think the is more for like the tootie. And they're trying to get that gas bubble out. And then the hair with like the H-E-H, hair, hair. That's them trying to push that poopy out, trying to get that going. And then, oh, there's a fourth one where they're going, oh, oh, kind of like a yawn, always sound. And that's their sleepy cry. And at first I saw the video and then I saw the baby's examples and I was like, wait, this all makes sense. Baby cry sounds like it. And so now with my baby, I hear those sounds and right away I'm like, oh, he's hungry. Oh, there's a burp. Oh, there's a thing. And like first time, as a first-time mom, whenever my baby cried about anything, I was like, what is it, right? You check the 3 things, like, okay, are they hungry? Do they have a gas, right, colic or whatever? Or do they need to poop? Is it a wet diaper? Are they sleepy, right? And you just keep checking those things. But this gives you, like, a key, like a magical key, right, where you're like, oh, okay, nah sound, they're hungry. Eh sound, they got a burp, let me help you out, buddy. Eh sound, you're probably trying to push out a poopy, right? And it lasts for a while. Their stomach is just learning how to work, right? So they're they're pushing. Also with the air sound, they kind of do like swimming arms, right? Because they're trying to get that air out. So whenever I see my baby got, I'm like, okay, let's burp you out, buddy. Burp out, done. He's working on that poopy. Out, done. And then sleepy, he just, right now it's newborn stage, so he just sleeps a lot. But oh my gosh, are those sounds so helpful? Because before our baby arrived, we were kind of going through and learning baby developmental milestones with my daughter, who's 3, and she wanted to know everything about the baby. So I was like, hey, there's these sounds you can recognize when the baby's crying, you need to burp them. Mommy's and daddy's carry baby, the baby can't see for the like really well for the first 6 months. They kind of rely on their senses, so maybe they hear stuff, maybe they want to feel stuff. They're fragile, you know, we just kind of went through all of those things. And so now when the baby cries, does one of those cries, my daughter will come and tell me right away, like, okay, he's doing a heh and a nah, so I think he's got to eat and he might have a poopy. And it's always spot on, but it also helps with this transition period, right? Like bringing the baby in, meeting a sibling, there's so much that changes. I forgot even about my laundry. Anyway, so, but she feels so involved, right? Because she's like, oh, I'm helping. I'm also part of this as well. Like, they're excited. And, you know, there's been so many things that I have found also helpful with the baby transition. And one of them is, like, when we were getting new items for the baby, even if they were my daughter's old items, right, we were just bringing them back into the house, I'd let her play with them. So it didn't feel like baby's just getting all this new stuff, right? Because like to us, it might be like a swing, a carrier, a diaper bag, like nothing of value. Like, I mean, of course it's expensive, but like, but to kids, they see it and they're like, they think a rock is a gift, right? A leaf is a gift. So they're seeing all of these new gifts come in for the baby, and they're like, okay, starting to feel left out, right? Like, the biggest thing I think that happens with siblings with a new baby is that jealousy, where it's like, hey, I was the center of attention, now somebody else has come in the picture. And so something that has helped us is letting her play with those items, you know, still setting boundaries up, like, hey, when the baby's here, of course the baby will use it, but if you want to play with your baby doll on it, right? And so that kind of helps. So it seemed like the new items that were coming in weren't just for the baby. They were like family things. And the educational part of it, I'm like, hey, this is baby development. Babies might cry a lot. They poop a lot. They might, you know, we need to carry them because they can't even sit up. They can't do these things, kind of helping the kiddo understand that the mommies and daddies aren't holding the baby more because we love them more. We're holding them because we need to help them. We need to help them get around, get food. They aren't able to do that. And so kind of putting in the empathy aspect of things into your kid's mind, saying, hey, we're helping your baby brother, your baby sister. We can do it all together. Once they get stronger, we try to emphasize a lot of when they get stronger. You know, I had a little boy, and so we're saying, your little brother's going to love playing with you. He's going to run. He's going to do this. Right now, we do need to be fragile. We need to be so gentle. Gentle kisses, gentle hugs. Only mommy and daddy carry the baby because, of course, they want to participate, right? And but emphasizing, like, as soon as he's strong, he's going to be so excited to play with you. This is your best friend. This is your, you know, forever best friend, to share stories, go on adventures, do whatever. And so I think that really helped. And another thing we tried to do was this, like, pretend conversation between the baby and my daughter. Sister, what's going on? Did you have good dreams?
Yeah.
Did you? What do you think you're going to do today? You're going to play? And so it started when the baby was still in my belly. Hey, sister, how are you? I'm just in here. I can't see anything. I'm in the belly. And she would reply. So they started building that connection. And so when he was born, we would continue, you know, we're holding the baby and we're saying, hey, sister, you're such a fast runner. Let me see you run. Oh, I love how you played with that toy. And kind of create the conversation as you would with a toy. So they're building this relationship, right? They're believing it. They see the companionship with their sibling. And so it kind of eliminates some of that competition. And then something I saw that I think is super helpful is this idea of, like, don't blame the baby. And when it comes to schedule changes or routine changes, try to avoid putting it on the baby. Like, if your toddler's like, hey, I want to go to the playground, and you can't because, you know, the baby needs to nap, whatever the situation is, instead of saying, hey, we can't because baby needs to do this, explain it another term so it's not every time being put on the baby, right? So it's like, oh, you know, we can't right now, but here's what we can do. Right, and provide them with another option of, like, hey, why don't we do chalk activities, bubbles, let's do threading. If you're looking for some kids activities, check out my social media channels because I post a lot all the time because I think they're so fun. It's a great way of bonding, especially in, like, making one-on-one time. What was I saying? Starting the conversations, helping them. Oh, so don't blame the baby. And so trying to avoid using the baby as the reason as to why some things are different. Just because in their little mind, it's going to be like, oh, I used to be able to go to the playground anytime. Now that this baby's here, I can't. I used to be able to squawk and holler, and now I have to be quiet because the baby, right? So it's like unintentionally could build this resentment towards the baby where they're no longer allowed to do certain things because the baby has entered the house. And so that's been super helpful as well, where it's like, it doesn't feel like the, you know, we've all ganged up against the toddler, right? Because, of course, they don't like hearing no or don't. They want to be in control in this situation. They're often told, like, oh, you can't touch the baby or, you know, you can't. So it's more can'ts and no's and don'ts that come along. So kind of being more gentle with it, I think, is something that's been super helpful. And then lastly, I think we're taking advantage of this newborn stage. Like, my baby's sleeping right now. I had to get some laundry done. I'm just chit-chatting. But the newborn stage, right, they sleep so much. Take advantage of it. So while they're sleeping, if you're able to give your toddler that one-on-one, whether it's an activity, make a sandwich together, go outside, you know, whatever it is that you can do. So you give him that, like, undivided attention, so it doesn't feel like that's gone away. And with more sleep times at the beginning, you're spending so much more time with your toddler if you're able to give them that one-on-one time. And then as the baby starts having bigger wake windows and their sleep decreases, right, it's a smoother transition. So it's going, only playing with your toddler and giving them all the attention, giving them most of the attention while the baby's sleeping still, baby's changing, all of this. And then kind of sharing the attention to then, right? So it's like a smoother transition in general. And then I said lastly, but there's one more that I think has been super helpful is, and I don't know if it'll just work for girls. I hear all the time that like girls love to play mommies. I don't know if it's the same for boys. I'll find out with my son. But something my daughter loves, because she, you know, kids love to copy us and what we do. So now she's seeing me hold the baby, me burp the baby. We've talked about, we've played it so many times before the arrival of her brother. And so now if I'm burping the baby, she's right there. Oh, baby, baby, let me burp you. Baby's doing hair, let me check his diaper. Oh, such a good poopy. She goes, it's such a good poopy. Good job, baby. Good job working on your body. Good job growing. She changes the diaper. She washes the onesies. She lays the baby down. If we go and play somewhere, she goes, oh, I got to bring the baby with me. Mommy's got to be close to their babies. So she's playing Mommy Paisley right now. But I think in her mind, it's not any of that, like, competition or fighting for mom's attention for the between her and the baby, but it's like her and mommy are playing together, right? So I'm playing mommy with the baby, her brother, and she's also playing mommy, and so we're playing together. It's this playtime instead of a responsibility time, right? It's like just painting it with a different paintbrush. I think explaining everything, right, the baby development, the schedule changes beforehand became so helpful, because she just understood it when we got there, and letting her participate. So if we're buying something new for the baby, hey, do you want to pick this or that? We also did a big sister gift, right? So it's like, hey, baby helped us pick this out, right? So she's receiving gifts, she's helping choose this stuff, she's a part of the family. Just so the toddlers, like, don't feel excluded, right? It's like they were this big main part of every day, right? All of the attention goes to them, to now having to divide that attention. So helping seal that gap and build that bridge of like, hey, this is a family matter. We do this together. You get to pick things out for baby. Baby's going to pick things out for you. And then when doing big sister, big brother gift, I would recommend doing things that they can do independently, right? So we got her like a swing she can sit in herself. Some quiet time activities also. There's like this geometrical shapes she can put together, these rubber bands. She just likes to sit and do it for a while. And so those are great for like nap time, winding down, and things she can just pull and do herself if she needs to kind of like busy herself for a little bit. And so I thought those were super, like, helpful when it comes to helping siblings, right? Somebody even asked me, like, hey, has she regressed at all? Because I didn't know, but there's this thing called, like, baby regression, right? When there's a new sibling, the toddler may start acting like the baby. And I think comes to, like, oh, I see this thing getting attention from being a baby. I will also be a baby. But I think kind of granting her with this responsibility, because again, kids just want, especially toddlers, they just want control, right? They just want to be able to say what they're doing, where, which is totally understandable, right? Like, they don't have the freedom to just get in the car, go to Target, go to TJ. You know, they just like, they have to be on our schedule, essentially. Of course, we do it on their schedule, but to them, it seems like, you know, they can't control much. And so giving her that responsibility of saying, like, hey, you can... You know, she's understanding the baby cry, so she knows that, oh, she can help the baby. She knows where the diapers are. She's taking care of her little baby. So she feels super involved, part of the family, not excluded. Just having the conversations with her brother, right? And so if any of those tips are helpful with your new baby, welcome new baby sibling, and how to unite toddlers and babies, I hope something in there helps. I have so many more things I wanted to chat about always, but if you have any questions, let me know. And the baby cries, you guys, you gotta check out the baby cries. I'll try to remember to tag that video below where you can see the examples of it. But that lady was so spot on. There are those four cries, nah, hungry, eh, burp, ha. They're feeling discomfort, they're gonna start pooping, ow, they're getting ready to sleep. Like, we got them on lockdown in our house now. And so like, as soon as one cry comes out, we all know what to do. And my first time around, I had so much anxiety. Anytime my baby made a sound, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, like she's crying, something's wrong, right? Like first time mom, postpartum, anxiety, depression, all the fog comes in. The intrusive thoughts I had and still have are just like bonkers, right? Like the things you imagine, you're just like, in what world would I ever think about that? Why and how? But I had so much anxiety. And something I didn't know else with babies, something called active sleep, where they're sleeping and it might look like they're waking up, so they make a sound, meh, meh, wave their arms so you think they're awake, but then if you just give them another minute, they're gonna fall back asleep. Oh, I didn't know that the first time. I just didn't even know that the first time. And so anytime my daughter would move, make a sound, I was like, oh my gosh, she's up, she needs me, ah, ah, and I would rock her, start helping her, and I think I kept her awake. I would wake her up because she probably still needed to sleep. And so I wonder if many times I kept her up, which is so different with this baby now, is he just is sleeping so much, which is so helpful with the transition. But I didn't know that about the active sleep. So if you see your baby kind of like they're sleeping, maybe think, meh, meh, wake up, kind of like wave their arms around, scrunch up. Ah. Give him one more minute. Maybe they'll go back to sleep. Maybe they're just in their active sleep and they might sleep for another hour. Of course, if they're like, and they're crying, like, help your baby, absolutely. I'm over here trying to recognize cries so I can get to them faster. So I'm all pro helping your baby first, making sure they're doing okay. Recognizing those cries and active sleep. So just like give them a second, they might go back to sleep. It's whoa. And then I was also thinking, just anxiety part, like with my daughter, I had so much anxiety, just so much worry and stuff, and it is different with my second one. So if there's if you're a mom who's like about to welcome a second and you're worried about, you know, will the postpartum, and I can't tell you that it's going to be this different, right? Like you're going to have your own experience, but for me personally, there's something about like, well, those cries and the active sleep thing is so helpful. But also, like, not everything is so unknown anymore. That anxiety kind of lifts off the shoulders and it becomes a little bit easier to breathe. Like, this second birth experience was so different. I think I started labor the day before. I had these really bad, like, cramps, and I was like, oh my gosh, I think these might be contractions. We called our doctor, and he's like, well, if the water didn't break, you're still probably good. We live an hour away from our hospital, but we happened to be in the city for the doctor visit that we had to miss. And we're like, hey, let's stay an extra night. Something's a little off. Like, And then the next day, I didn't have any contractions. I was like, oh, it was a fake out, like false labor, right? And then at 12:30 at night, I wake up with these really painful contractions. I'm like, do I need to go to the bathroom? Do I need to do what? My daughter was sleeping. My husband was sleeping. And I try to go to the bathroom. I try to take a little bath. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if this is manageable. By 1, I went over and woke up my husband. I was like, hey, I think this is it. I think it's happening. But I didn't want to wake up my daughter. You know, it was going to be our first night kind of away. We've never done it. So I had a lot of anxiety over that. But then within 5 minutes, my contractions were like 3 minutes apart. I was in so much pain. I was like, I can't manage this. And then we got to the hospital, it was 5 minutes away. And then we got me checked in. They were like, hey, my husband took my daughter back to the Airbnb because she couldn't be there for the delivery. And then we had our mother-in-law come and stay with her. But so I checked in, they drew my like whatever they needed to like send to the lab. And then the doctor checked. She was like, oh my gosh, you're 8-9 centimeters dilated. You're gonna have this baby in like 30, it's happening. And I was like, I feel it. And I wanted to get an epidural, but they're like, we got to get results back. It probably takes 15 minutes. But then they got me up to the room, and I was like, I have to push. Like, it's happening so fast. I was like screaming. I was like, oh my God. Like, it was so painful. And then somehow, magically, thank God, our timing with this pregnancy was so insane. The epidural team came in and they're like, hey, but we need you to stay still for about 2 minutes for us to put the tapes on, put everything in. Can you hold that long? Because I was like shaking, going, it was so sharp. It was so like a volcano erupted, like it was ready. And then, you know, they came in and then it ceased. It stopped for like 2 minutes. They were able to put it in. Epidural came through. Baby popped out within 15 minutes of that. Like, when I tell you, I woke up at 12:30, by 3 a.m., a little after, I was holding my son. Well, I woke up at 12:30. I think we were at the hospital by 1:30. So 2 hours of getting checked in the hospital, going to the other room, getting epidural, 2 hours. It was insane. It was insane. But also something with, like, it all happened so fast, and then we had to, you know, my husband had to help take care of our toddler. I had to be in the hospital. I couldn't leave, and so we had to spend some time apart. And there was this moment, like, being able to kind of go through that and do it, and then, you know, I'm in stitches, everything's going on first day, and I'm kind of in my room by myself with my baby, and I'm like, if I can do this, I can do anything. Like, not like, you know, but like a super power came over me, you know, like I feel like when I pushed him out, I like pushed out the anxiety I was having for the last 6 months coming up to this. I had so much worry about everything. And then it just like, whoa, I can do this, right? Like, it's going to be okay. We're going to be okay. He's going to be okay. We're all going to be okay. And then welcoming him home and, you know, he's sleeping, so the transition's easier. It's just been such a blessing. And I have some baby onesies. I wanted to chit-chat about these. If you've got a newborn, you probably already know this. But you're going to be changing a lot of diapers. So, and they scratch with their little nails. You can't clip them quite yet because they're just so teeny tiny. But because they're moving, the baby's moving, they like to scratch their face. Poor little things. So you are going to want to have mittens, but mittens fall off all the time. Plus, I always worry that they're like, maybe they'll chomp on the mitten and it'll stay in their mouth. I know it's like intrusive thought, but like, I don't know. You lose mittens. So if you don't know already, but like, get these mittens attached sleeves on all of your like newborn or 0 to 3, where on the sleeve, it's like a little pocket, and then you flip it to cover their hands. It's like a built-in mitten. These sleep sacks are perfect because they're wearing it. You can just pull it up to their belly, change their diaper, pull it back on. You're good to go. Or these zipper ones where you kind of zip. Try to get with 2 zippers because this one you can zip all the way down. This one you can zip from the bottom to check the diaper if it's like a pee. Mittens, again, included. Some of the nice ones, onesies have the little mittens over the feet too, so it's like you can let the feet breathe or put it back on. And the cotton ones do shrink, and you'll be washing them all the time. I just got one bamboo one that I'm trying, and it is soft and it isn't shrinking. So I think I might be doing the switch to bamboo. I kept seeing all the moms like, hey, this bamboo onesie. But when I look at the price, I'm like, yo, that's expensive. But it might be worth it, because right now my newborn ones, we wore them for a week. They got small. They don't fit them anymore. But if I just gotten all the bamboo ones that don't shrink, you'd be still wearing them, I guess. Well, and they stretch more. I'll keep you updated on the bamboo ones. But anyways, these button ones are so cute, right? But if you're changing diapers, you're going to be buttoning up and down, over and over and over and over and over again. So for like at home, if you're just chilling, if you want to put them in like a sleep sack or a onesie that zips instead of the snaps. The snaps also look cute, but then you're like pressing down again, like buttons. They can just wear one of these, and then you can have like cute outfits for pictures or outings or whatever you do. Oh, and Like, our baby's not sleeping through the night necessarily. He is sleeping a lot. So right now he only wakes up maybe twice at night. Which is, my daughter was up all kind of day and night, and the sleep deprivation gets to you, right? Like, the patient shrinks along with the sleep you get. And so I think something that helps, like, babies only know our, like, scent and our, like, touch and our heartbeat and everything. And so if you can place your baby as close to you as possible safely so they can kind of maybe smell you, or if you can just pick them up and rock them if you need to. Whenever I hold the baby, like even for a nap, he sleeps so much longer than he would in like a bassinet. Of course, be safe, listen to your doctor. But if you can get them close to you, so like the side bassinets, or if you're doing co-sleeping safely, of course, be safe, listen to everything, and just, but I have found it so helpful in the sleeping, because then I'm sleeping. And I also had really bad insomnia through pregnancy, and so I was getting like maybe an hour or two sleep at night. So actually with the baby, I'm getting more sleep than before, and I'm like, oddly enough, I hated the insomnia, but I'm thankful for it now, because it just gave me like a different perspective of like, oh my gosh, I'm getting more than 2 hours, like, steal. Okay. And lastly, I'll just plug in for the Paisley's Corner, because we filmed an episode a week after the delivery. I'm telling you, I just like felt, I was like, I can do this. I can do this. And now I'm not only doing the show for Paisley, but also for baby Ezra. And I'm like, I want him to learn in the best way possible. I want to do the best. I want to keep making amazing learning videos and help him learn. And now, I know my daughter and certain things she likes, and I'm excited to see what my son likes, what boys like, and kind of open it up in that spectrum. But for Paisley's Corner, the toddler learning videos, we're doing so many more kids' activities, so make sure you check it out if you're looking for activities. We filmed an episode with, it's gonna be a learn to talk episode for babies and toddlers, and it's all set on like this farm. And if you haven't seen my show, I try to do like non-overstimulating FaceTime-like videos for littles where I'm playing with a toy. It's a lot of repetition where I'm like, the cow says moo, here's a cow and saying moo, moo, like over and over with colors, words, all of it. This one we're learning mama, dada, but using the animal. So we're helping baby calf call the mama cow, helping the baby foal call dada horse. And so we're learning animals, animal sounds, baby animals that match with the animals, sign language, mama, dada, milk, water, please, thank you. Playing, and so naming everything. I'm also doing a lot of prepositions. So there's this barn, and I'm like, up in the barn, off the barn, behind, in front, to help them directionally in their space awareness, just like name things and be able to communicate and advocate for themselves, to say, hey, it's this thing over here, on top of it, behind it, built right. So start explaining things within that world. Learn fruits, vegetables, colors, some counting. We do five little ducks as nursery rhymes as well. And this is, I'm really excited for this video because I think it, like, it's set in this just like playtime, right? You're just there visiting. It kind of, my goal is to make it feel really comfortable for kids, so it feels like they're just over for a play date, don't miss, and try to educate them in different ways through repetition and narration of things. Oh, the cow is walking, now the horse is walking. It's all silly stuff, but I'm actually narrating verbs, nouns. They're adding sign language to it, and so kind of just helping them learn through all of it. But I'm excited for that video, so that's going to be out. And gosh, I have so many more ideas, right? We're planning like an Easter Bunny episode. Spring is coming, so I want to do more, so many things. I can talk forever about it. Okay. Well, I hope everyone's having a super good day. Let me know if you have any questions or comments. And I'll chit chat with you guys soon. Bye. I gotta do my laundry. You guys, I didn't look at this. I'm still swimming in laundry, but I had a good chit chat.